When Jesus went and was baptized by John, Christian baptism didn't start. You see, the baptism that Jesus participates in this story is not the baptism we participate in. If it had been, it would have gone something like this. Oh, hi, Jesus. I baptize you in the name of, well, yourself, your dad, and a ghost. This is not what happened. John was engaged in a baptism of repentance. Though, our understanding of who Jesus is that he was sinless. Why is the guy without sin engaging in being forgiven for his sin? Maybe he had just sort of, you know, zoned out and wandered in and was just like, oh, I could use a bath. Haven't had one for a while. Also, not what's happening. What Jesus is doing here is he's acting like a shrewd politician. You see, Jesus is about 30 at this point, and he has zero following. No one knows who he is. No one's following him around. No one's listening to him. John, on the other hand, had been quite active. He had people coming out to the desert to listen to him, coming out to engage in this baptism. By the way, John made up this baptism for the forgiveness of sin. This was his idea. I mean, there had been other baptisms happening in the area, most of which involved having a bull's throat slit over you when you got covered in blood. Gory stuff. Water is much more palatable. I'm glad we're doing that. Jesus comes and is baptized by John as a way to co-opt John's movement. I think that the gospel writers, this is my hunch, that they probably are whitewashing over John's movement a bit, in that I think John probably fancied himself something of the Messiah. He was running for that office too. I have a hard time believing, when everyone's questioning whether John might be the Messiah, if he just humbly says, oh no, there's one more powerful than I coming. I'm not the Messiah. I bet he's like, Messiah, I could do that job. I'll be the Messiah. That'd be awesome. Right? I mean, you're offered a great job. Why would you refuse it? But Jesus comes and co-opts John's movement. He could have chosen any of the other sects of Judaism. He could have, you know, oh, I'll, you know, take the Pharisaic movement, or I'll take the Sadducees, or, you know, whoever. But he chooses John's. And in that way, we end up with baptism. And the biggest link is that there's water. In John's baptism, it's cleansing of sins. When we baptize, we talk about washing and forgiveness of sins. That's in there. But really, at the heart of it, what we're doing is we're drowning. When we bring newborns to church to be baptized, we're drowning babies. Actually, you know, come to think, that is way gorier than bull's blood. But the baptism is a co-option of death. Because what really matters in baptism, it's not the water. One of my favorite lines from Luther, and you'll probably, no one will be surprised, is he says, in an emergency, you can baptize with beer, because it's not the water that matters. It's the word of God and God's promises that matter in baptism. And John could never make promises for God. It's only God's self that can make those sorts of promises. And when God's will is enacted and when God makes a promise to us, it co-opts all of our plans. When Jesus sends his disciples out to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, he's not sending them out into the world to be co-opters. They're not the ones going out and, you know, deciding what God's plan is or what God's promise is going to be. And as Christians, we're not to go out and co-opt the world, because we're the co-opted. Whatever our feeble plans and ideas are, whatever new rituals or rites we come up with, God will co-opt them. We're not the creators. We're just the raw material. And what God is creating and promising is salvation and redemption. That's what we're promised in baptism. And the whole thing doesn't end with drowning. It ends with resurrection. For if we've been united with Christ in a death like his in baptism, surely we're united with Christ, raising out of those waters where we can't breathe, where we can't live, in a resurrection like his. And that's what the promise is. God co-opts death and the grave. Co-opts our lives when we can finally rest. You know, I often struggle with the idea of life after death because it just seems wearisome. It's like going to bed. You know, I just want to sleep and be done with it. But God co-opts that and says, no, here is life and light eternal. It undoes all of our plans. Because when we start getting about the business, trying to be God and making our will be done, we mostly screw things up and create death. Shorthand for that would be, we sin a bunch. But Christ, who is sinless, takes us, the raw material of redemption, and creates heaven. Drowning and death be no more. Life, not the God of the dead, but of the living. We're alive in Christ. Amen.